The tour content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions. Hello, I'm Rabbi Matt Schneeweiss, and this is the audio version of the one-page article I wrote and published on my blog, Kol HaSharidim, on April 12th, 2022. The article is entitled Chad Gadya, A New Song with an Ancient Theme. The author of Chad Gadya is unknown, as is the date of its composition. The first verified publication of this song was in a Haggadah printed in Prague in 1590. An earlier handwritten version was found in the back of a 1526 Haggadah, also printed in Prague. An even earlier version was reported by Rabbi Yedidia Weil, who lived from 1721 through 1805, in a now-lost Siddur manuscript dating back to 1406 in Worms. He heard that it was found hidden in the walls of the Beis Midrash of the Rokeach, who lived from 1176 to 1238, who established that it be sung on Pesach night for all generations. Many interpretations of Chad Gadya have been offered over the centuries. One of the more popular explanations is that each figure in the song represents one of the regimes that oppressed us throughout our long history. The goat is the Jewish people. The cat is Assyria. The dog is Babylon, and so on. I would like to suggest a different interpretation, one based on an older and inarguably greater song, whose theme is central to Yetzias Mitzrayim. Shiras Hayam, the Song of the Sea, opens with a verse, I will sing to Hashem ki ga'o ga'a, horse and rider he cast into the sea. It is difficult to translate ki ga'o ga'a in a manner which captures the nuances of the Hebrew. The root ga'a denotes greatness, grandeur, or exaltedness. Therefore, it would be accurate to translate the phrase as, for he is exceedingly great. However, ga'a also carries a connotation of proud, haughty, and boastful, and the terms gava and ga'on are used in biblical Hebrew to mean arrogance and pride. As odd as it sounds, it would be equally correct to render ki ga'o ga'a as, for he is exceedingly haughty. What does the verse mean? How can we make sense of this strange ambiguity? Rav Yosef Albo, in the Sefer HaYikarim 2.14, proposes a solution, which he supports with Targum Onkelos's non-literal translation of our verse. Onkelos translates it as, and I'm going to read here in the actual Aramaic, Neshabach v'node kadam adoshem, are isga'i al gevsanaya, v'ge'usa dilehi, susia v'rachve ramaviyama. Which translates to, we will sing and give pranks. We will sing and give thanks before Hashem, for he prides himself over the prideful, and ge'usa, pride or greatness, belongs to him. Horse and rider he cast into the sea. Rav Yosef Albo writes, quote, indeed, we find scripture ascribing ga'ava, pride, to him, even though this is a despicable character trait in man. As it is stated in Mishlei 16:5, every haughty heart is an abomination to Hashem. The reason for this is that it is not proper for man to take pride in any perfection or in any superiority, for everything comes from Hashem, and it is not fitting for man to take pride in anything that does not belong to him. Therefore, ga'ava is only fitting for Hashem, since everything comes from him and not from anyone else. It is for this reason that scripture ascribes it to him, saying, Hashem reigns, he dons ge'us, which is another word for pride. That's from Tehillim 93:1. And Moshe said, I will sing to Hashem ki ga'o ga'a, which Onkelos translates as, for he prides himself over the prideful, and pride slash greatness belongs to him. Therefore, if someone prides himself on that which does not belong to him, it is proper that that superiority be removed from him in order to demonstrate that glory and superiority do not belong to that man himself, but are from Hashem by his will. End quote. When Bnei Israel saw the Egyptian charioteers at Yam Suf, they were afraid. Even after witnessing Hashem's omnipotence as displayed in the 10 plagues, they still regarded their former masters as powerful beings worthy of fear. It was only after Hashem drowned the Egyptian army in the sea that Bnei Israel acknowledged the truth of Hashem's supremacy, that he prides himself over the prideful and pride slash greatness belong to him. Perhaps this is the central idea of Chad Gadya. Each stanza introduces a more powerful entity. This powerful entity appears to be a genuine threat until it is defeated by an even greater one. Ultimately, we arrive at the recognition that Hashem is more powerful than all of them. Who is like you among the powers, Hashem? Not only is this a major theme of Yetzias Mitzrayim, but it also pairs well with the symbolic interpretation mentioned above. When we, the Jewish people, are faced with fearsome oppressors, it can be easy to feel that the situation is hopeless. But we must remember our relationship with the true power and turn to Him, believing, God is my strength and my salvation, Hashem will reign forever and ever. If you've gained from what you've learned here today, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/Rabbi Schneeweiss. Alternatively, if you would like to make a direct contribution to the Rabbi Schneeweis Torah Content Fund, my Venmo is at Matt-Schneeweis, and my Zelle/ChaseQuickPay and PayPal are mattschneeweis@gmail.com. Even a small contribution goes a long way to covering the cost of my podcast and will provide me with the financial freedom to produce even more Torah content for you. If you would like to sponsor an article, shiur, or podcast episode, or if you are interested in enlisting my services as a teacher or tutor, you can reach me at rabbischneeweis@gmail.com. Thank you to my listeners for listening. Thank you to my readers for reading, and thank you to my supporters for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone.